opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Into the 20, and Lamb's on the loose, and they won't catch him.
No
hurry, nobody close. Corbin Lamb, touchdown Cardinals.
What time is,
You are now listening to the Crunch Show, broadcasting live from a rainy Louisville, Kentucky. Mike Lindsay, also known as Crunch Revenge, and I'm with
Mark Blankenbaker, also known as at UofL Sheriff 50.
And we're here to talk about the depressing North Carolina loss, the upcoming games we've got with Virginia Tech and Duke. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in football. We've got some program updates. It's the Crunch Zone coming at you right now.
Team of the week.
Mark, I know you, with everybody else in the world, was awfully frustrated with how that game finished.
Not really the crazy shot Marcus Page hit, because that was a great shot.
A fantastic shot. With a turned ankle, that was a good shot.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good shot for a guy that's running on all cylinders. But I think what I was most frustrated with was how well they played for 33 minutes to start the game. Mm-hmm. And the final 7 minutes, just tanking offensively. And Terry Rozier's your only guy who scored points at all in the last 7 minutes of the ball game, and you lose by one on the road. It's like, everything started coming together. You got something out of your five-man. Shinani Weldon-Waku kind of came to life. And oh, God, you know, you lost to a really good North Carolina team. I mean, I don't know if they're one of the classic North Carolina teams that Roy Williams or the Tar Heels have ever had, but they're certainly a good example of what North Carolina basketball is about. So nothing really to hang your hat on, or hang your head about, but, you know, just a frustrating because, you know, you got a great play out of Chris Jones. You got a great play out of Terry Rozier. You got Shinani Onuwaku kind of playing well.
It's through your starters. Everyone pretty much contributed. Even Wayne didn't have that bad of a game. Like, people were knocking him, but he actually, his stats weren't too bad. The bench, 0 points, total of only 4 shots taken, 0-4. You get maybe 4 or 5 rebounds.
4.
Yeah, total, and they're all mango. So that, you know, that continues to be something we've talked about before in podcasts. That continues to be the quest for Louisville to be effective in March. For Louisville to be a Final Four team in March, it's going to be spelling these starters.
It has to. You have to. You can't get 0 points from your bench, and you can't augment that by starting, Anton Gill over Terry Rozier or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, you have to legitimately get something from these guys. And I know Anas Mahmood didn't play that much. He's coming off of that, that migraine. Shaquan Aaron's coming off the ding to his head. So, you know, maybe you can come up with some excuses for those guys. But Mango Mathiang, Quentin Snyder, you know, you got to get something from them. You got to get something from Anton Gill, even though he didn't play against North Carolina at all. I just feel like Rick Pitino has to, because the reason why Louisville stopped scoring in the final seven minutes of the game, and Eric Crawford wrote a little article about this, was because they're tired. You know, they're playing, you know, tons of minutes. When you have your starting group playing 30 minutes each, you got 4 guys that played over 30 minutes in a ball game. They're gonna wear down. They're human beings.
And it wasn't just a ball game. It was a ball game where North Carolina is very tall. They're very long. So everything that you do, you have to do a little bit more. You have to do a little extra effort to get the reach on a ball, to get a stretch on a ball, to get the rebound. And, indicative of that length is there's 17 offensive rebounds per game they average. And by the end of the first half, North Carolina had 13. I mean, it was amazing that Louisville was even still in the game with 13 offensive rebounds.
Yeah, and they're good. Louisville's a good rebounding team, and North Carolina's still doing that to them. And also, and back to the fatigue part, you know, North Carolina and Louisville both like to run. And it was a really hot pace, especially early in the game, that Louisville and North Carolina were doing. So when you throw in the pace plus the no bench production. I mean, that's a really bad recipe for Louisville, and they only lost the game by one. So overall, like a whole lot of people text me after the game and writing to me on Twitter or whatever and saying, you know, how upset they were. But really, I was okay. I was okay with the result.
Yeah, well,
for
yeah.
a lot of reasons, because I feel like the younger players needed something like this. They needed to taste defeat against a team that they should have won. Should have beaten.
Yeah, and Quentin Snyder did give us some good minutes as far as like he came in and made a few good passes, but just it's just the empty production. I'm sure that will get better. I mean, when you look at who played, the only one who contributed was the only one who wasn't a true freshman. I mean, Shaquan Aaron was one assist. Quentin Snyder, one assist. Anas Mahmoud was nothing all the way across. So. I think these freshmen will get better, and North Carolina is not necessarily the team that they're going to have their best games against. I don't expect that, you know, out of true freshmen. But to me, it was frustrating just because that was a game you won. So, I mean, I wasn't disappointed. I thought overall Louisville played great. We did run out of gas. So, to me, that wasn't a systemic failure. I just think that without the bench producing, to give Rick confidence, get these starters resting – In a tight game on the road against a top 20 team, I think these guys are going to have to get better. So I'm just frustrated that we let one get away. But basketball seasons are long. There's 40 games. If you get all the way to the championship game, and you usually lose a few that you're supposed to win.
Yep.
You usually sneak away a couple wins that you're supposed to lose.
Yep.
And so the way I look at this is the Cards owe us one. You know, they played well. They should have won the game. They didn't. You owe us one. It would be nice if we could get it against Duke. But as we sit here, North Carolina gets the Dickie Vitale, Stuart Scott, Booyah tribute.
Although, the Booyah thing, I think that was the thing that I took that I was most upset with, and I understand that it was a tribute to Stuart Scott, and Dickie V's done a lot with the Jimmy V Foundation and stuff like that. So I get why he would want to do that, but I also feel like in a large sense that this was a game that happened on North Carolina's home floor, and you know, Louisville fans, all of Louisville's audience was sitting and watching it, and it is also the largest college basketball market in the whole country, the city of Louisville. So I didn't appreciate Dickie V doing that over and over again for his friend, but you know, I'm not a big Dickie V fan anyway. Like, you know, so my opinion of him really didn't change before or after it, because my opinion of Dick Vitale is already very low. I much prefer guys like Jay Billis, people who actually talk about the game that they're watching while they're commentating a basketball game, rather than, you know, every time we get Dick Vitale, we have to hear about how great Kentucky is, how great North Carolina is, how great Duke is, and where he ate for breakfast that morning. And it doesn't add anything to anything that we're watching.
Not anymore. Now, but I will say Dickie V, to me, I will respect he has basically been the biggest ambassador to college basketball of damn near any of them. You know, I think Al McGuire was a lot of fun. And if you weren't old enough to hear Al McGuire, the former Marquette coach, won a national championship, he loved Louisville. So that's probably another reason why I loved him. So we were getting the Dookie V treatment from Al McGuire with Denny Crum. They were pretty close. But he's been a great ambassador to college basketball. I do agree with you. Billis and the Billustrator and all the technical aspects that he brings to the game. I do think he's pretty fair. You know, he went to Duke. He's from the ACC. But I do think he's very fair with trying to be an unbiased look at college basketball. And to be honest, I also love Jay Billis because he's called so many great moments for Louisville in the Big East days, you know, with him and Rafferty, who's going to be into the Hall of Fame just recently announced. So I do love Jay Billis. But Dickie V in the last few years, it's just like he's been on retirement and he's just been basically saying what he's probably wanted to say since the beginning.
Yep. He's like, well, if they fire me, I'll just go get
the old people that don't care. They care less and less about what they say, and he's at that point where he's just flat out cheering for people.
Yeah, he's just straight cheering for other teams. And whatever. You know, that was the only thing I had a problem with. You know, I do want more bench production. I think that's probably Rick Pitino's biggest frustration. I think that Shinanu Onuwaku getting the message was a big deal, because – there was a point there where he wasn't playing at all. And Pitino was like, if you're only going to give me 40% in practice, I can't put you on the floor.
Right.
And I think
what message does that send to the other teammates?
And I think it helps because, you know, he's obviously a very key, most ready to play five man that Louisville has. And if Pitino is willing to sit him because of his effort level in practice, well, that's going to raise everybody's effort level, especially these young players. Because Quentin Snyder, we need 10, 12 minutes out of Quentin, you know, not six. You know, and so some of that's defense, some of that's, you know, some of that's other stuff.
His legs. His legs for Chris and Terry.
Yeah, I mean, it's important. You need something from Anton Gill. You know, if he's not playing, I want to know why.
Yeah.
I'd like to get Anas Mahmoud back into his 10, 12-minute rotation that he had going on because I think that'll help Trez. Trez is working with a left thumb wrist injury right now, and I think that's taken away from the aggressive part
of his game.
Have
they talked about that much?
Well, it's something that, you
know, we obviously seen the ban for a few games.
It's something that we've been told isn't a big deal, but when
it looked like
it
was a big deal when he got hurt in the game.
So I don't know if he re-aggravated it prior, like in between the Clemson and the North Carolina game. So nobody's really asked a whole lot about that. But if he spends another game, like on Tuesday night against Virginia Tech, if he spends another game 15 feet from the basket the entire time and only gets single digits in points and doesn't really affect the glass very much, you know, it's something we're going to have to talk about and ask Montrezl Harrell about, ask Coach Pitino about. So because it is affecting the style of game that he's playing, it's not Montrezl Harrell basketball. So
right, and yesterday, 4 of 10 shooting, 9 points, 5 rebounds. I mean, I love that Chris and Terry are getting it done, but that, you know, that's not what you can't be top ranked teams with your star getting 9 points and 5 rebounds.
No, with your All American, you know what I mean? And everybody's triple teaming him, and I understand that. They're doubling, tripling him, and that's why, you know, and that's why Chris and Terry were able to go and do the things that they were able to do in this ball game. But, you know, you're an All American. The offense has to. You have to be offensively and defensively within your game. We're not seeing the baseline dunk Trez. We're not seeing the alley-oop Trez. And I understand some of that's what defenses are doing to Louisville. But if you're going to be a lottery pick, you have to be able to go and get everything right that you want to go get, no matter what they do to you. Make them pay for it. So, you know, Wayne Blackshear, I think everybody's starting to accept that Wayne is who he is.
Yeah.
He's not somebody.
10 points, 4 rebounds. Not going to take over a game, but he's going to be solid.
He's going to play solid defense. He's not going to turn the ball over. He's not going to be a negative.
What I hate about him shooting that three at the end of the game was, and I don't know that we have many that Chris Jones probably been the best 3-point shooter for the game for us yesterday, but he only shoots like 33%. So basically, by us shooting a 3-pointer to win the game, we're saying we have a 33% chance of winning the game.
Yeah, because you know, he had
a little bit of
time
trying to draw a foul, trying to cut the lane. Right. You know, it's just like
instead of shooting a three, we'd rather see him
or
take
him
a
not even get the ball. Like Chris and Terry could just go straight at their guy.
Well, he was open. He was in the corner.
He was.
I don't mind the shot so much as it was open. Because, you know, there's enough time left on the clock for the rebound and the potential follow.
Terry almost had it.
And Rozier almost made that. So there's a whole bunch of almost. And early in the second half, when Louisville had a big lead, there was a Terry Rozier layup that got goaltended that wasn't called. And then Paul Rogers wrote to me on Twitter and said, you know, well, Mango got away with a goaltend too. So we can go through a whole bunch of these, and we could probably even find some missed free throws. Like I remember, Chris Jones missed the front of a 1-1 early in the second half. That would have made a big deal if he'd have made both of them. Obviously, so we can go through the whole game and say these are different points that Louisville could have did differently and would have won the game. But I think the key thing is that Louisville's only a few improvements away from being a very, very, very good basketball team, you know, like a Final Four team.
Well, sure.
Because if they can get 10 points out of their bench and 8 or 9 additional minutes from some key players, you know, collectively, then that's going to make a huge deal. And the good news is that they have the potential to find those guys because Anas Mahmoud has looked good, and he's Montrezl Harrell's backup. And if he can get healthy and get back into practice and start looking good again, then that's going to be a big deal. Yeah. Shaquan Aaron can help out Terry Rozier and Wayne Blackshear.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of potential on this basketball team, and it's January. The 2012 Final Four team lost 5 out of 7 from late December and into mid-January. Mm-hmm. The 2003 championship team lost 3 games in a row in January. Yeah. So me freaking out in January is not
this is never the month that
– Yeah.
This isn't the month Rick's famous for. This is the month, where Rick is figuring it all out.
This is the month where you want to just – even if you get through the month 500, that's okay because it's about February and March and rounding things into form during those months because you just don't want to sink the ship in January. That's Patino basketball. Don't sink the ship because – The trials that you go through during this month, everybody's always frustrated. Louisville basketball fans always frustrated in January. Write it down every single year. I remember.
I did write down. It's actually in my post this week.
Oh yeah,
I said this isn't the month that we tear it up. This is the month where Rick's still doing final moves on rotations, final moves on changes. He's still installing offenses. He's still installing defenses, and it's that mid February run that he's so famous for.
Yeah, I think the 2011 exact date. January 10th, 2011, I think was the exact date that Louisville lost to Providence 90-59.
Yeah.
You know, and that team was exited by Murray State, you know, so, you know, I don't know. I mean, that wasn't a great year for Louisville basketball, but they had a decent year. They started coming around, and then we saw what happened after that. Quick side note, I do think it's weird that Louisville hasn't been exited from a team outside of the state of Kentucky for almost 5 seasons in the NCAA tournament. So, that's something that's kind of
Kentucky,
neat.
Kentucky
championship, Kentucky, Murray State, and then I don't know who it was before.
Yeah, it's got to be a record.
Yeah,
and NCAA, please stop doing this to us.
Yeah, please stop.
Let us play some other teams, please.
Yeah, we would like because we play a lot of these teams already. You know, let's see what else we got.
All right, well, that'll do it for the North Carolina game. 72-71 Cards fall, and as frustrating as it is, you just know that there's stuff to be learned, stuff to the drawing board, the refocus. Losses, the good thing about losses, at least if you have competitors on your team, is it turns practice a lot. It turns the heat up in practice, and people start focusing more because they get tired of losing. So this is not a team that's lost very much, as we are the winningest program in college basketball the last 3.5 years. But a loss is more painful when you're not taking them on. So I do think it's good. I was happy to see finally Onuaku putting some effort out there because if you saw the post I wrote earlier this week where I do statistical breakdown per minute, like it's kind of like the most likely to succeed, the high school yearbook thing, most likely to see. And in each of the categories, I on their production that they've had based on the minutes they played, it shows most likely to succeed in each statistical category.
Oh.
And Onuaku is number one big man in just damn near every single category. So you knew that Onuaku was our big guy, regardless of him not playing. Now, I hope that he will remain on the court because it looks like that is a decision for Onuaku to make. But when his effort is there and his energy is right, he is our number one shot blocker. He's our number one rebounder. He's our number one assist guy. He's our number one scorer. Of all the big men, the statistics he's put up in the minutes that he's played, he's number one of all the big men. So Onuaku's our guy. We just need him. We just need him to buckle down. All right. Looking ahead to this week, we got Virginia Tech, which is a game that you wish you didn't have to play because when you win, you're going to move down in the RPI because they're 260th, I think.
Never good when you get into conference play when you win and move down. But that's what Virginia Tech is.
So I don't know. They don't have the stars of old from the Metro playing for them. So we're not gonna see any Curry out there
Buzz Williams. You know what you're getting. You know when you play against Buzz.
Yeah.
You're gonna get good defense. And this is his first year. So this is the beginning of what he's trying to implement there. And I can't believe they fired Seth Greenberg. And I don't even remember who they had between Greenberg and Williams, to be honest with you, because things are not good in Blacksburg, Virginia, on the hardwood right now.
So weird. They were sitting on – I mean, we all know the Trez story, but then there was the Finney Smith. I think he's playing at Florida now. He was the five-star, where Trez was like a 3 or a 4-star. He was like 70th in the class. But they were sitting on a great class, and they said, you know what?
Screw it.
Let's screw this great class. Let's get fire our coach and put some doubt in the waters. Yeah. Of course, Louisville fans love that move.
If that hadn't happened, Montrezl Harrell would be a Virginia Tech Hokie on Tuesday night, and Louisville would have to be dealing with him.
With Finney Smith, and they would probably be a good chance to be top 25. Yeah.
Or already gone.
Yeah.
You know, because you never know what happens when you get on a really, really good, really, really bad programs with good players. A lot of times those guys do really well and move out even earlier. So, but yeah, they've lost three in a row. They lost 82-51 to Virginia, who's ranked 17 at the time.
Yeah.
And they lost to Syracuse by two. Okay, so.
Syracuse is the enigma this year.
Yeah.
They're like, no, everyone is basically saying, no way they're this bad.
Yeah.
You know, but they're not terrible, but it's like they're damn near 500. What's their record, Syracuse?
I don't know. Here, I can look it up for you while we're waiting. But they also lost
Syracuse
to Florida State.
Is a team that's kind of disappointed this year for the ACC.
Their record is 11-4.
11-4, so.
And, yeah, I mean, but you know, they 46-45 to Virginia Tech. You know, they beat Cornell by 17. They lost to Villanova, lost to St. John's, lost to Michigan, lost to Cal.
Michigan. Michigan and Cal, you know, obviously we know Villanova's top-ranked
Michigan's
team.
Michigan's pretty bad.
And St. John's was top 20. I don't know if they lost this week.
Yeah, so I understand. I mean, there's some – oh, they only beat Louisiana Tech by two. So Syracuse is kind of weird this year. But, yeah, back to Virginia Tech, they lost 86-75 most recently to Florida State. And they've had a week off since that game heading in Tuesday. They didn't play over the weekend. So I don't know what's going to come out of this. But, yeah, very happy that Virginia Tech fired Seth Greenberg.
Be that as it may, we're all just – mentioning we play Virginia Tech because we have to, but the game of the week will be against Duke.
Yeah, the Duke Blue Devils, they lost to North Carolina State, so the chance for Mike Krzyzewski to get his 1,000th win at the Yum Center is gone. And that's kind of, I think, a good thing for us because I don't want to go into a situation with officials who already are in love with Coach K. To have his 1,000th win on the line.
So their name can be with history.
Yeah, because it would be.
Yeah, I reffed his 1,000th win. I mean, there is
that.
Historical relevance to those referees.
Yeah, and Carl Hess has been fired by almost every league in college basketball. Any relevant league in college basketball has fired him, so we didn't have to worry about Carl Hess, King Carl, doing that. So, and TV Teddy Valentine, he is a Big Ten official now. So, really, Louisville's dodged.
We have no excuses.
We have to beat. We have to beat them. And Duke has a 9 o'clock game on Tuesday against Miami between now and that game as well. So that'll be something to watch. If you get out of the Virginia Tech game a little early, if it's a blowout, or if you get out of the Yum Center and slide into a bar, you can catch that game immediately after the Louisville game. So it'll be kind of a good little test run. If you haven't seen Duke yet this year, you should check them out.
Yeah, and Mark and I, before the broadcast, were talking about how Miami's a little bit of the Jekyll and Hyde team this year. They are hard to figure out because early on, you know, they're beating teams like Illinois, who was at the time ranked, Florida, and get some wins. And now they've lost four of their last six, including, you're not going to believe this, folks, including a 28-point loss at home against Eastern Kentucky.
Oh my God.
So Miami can either be as good enough to beat Florida and Illinois and these teams, or bad enough to lose by almost 30 points at home to Eastern Kentucky. So I don't know which one's going to face against Duke, but Duke I have seen play. When they are on, they're very good because they shoot well, they defend well, they've got every position almost like they got the perfect body type and player type for each position, so they don't have any tweeners or guys that they're trying to force into the position. You know, Winslow, I think it's Winslow. He's an amazing small forward freshman. Their point guard freshman is amazing. Okafor freshman. Their center is amazing.
Yeah.
And then they've got
Winslow. You have Winslow, Cook, Okafor, Jones, Jefferson, and Suleiman.
And they had more McDonald's All-Americans in Kentucky.
Oh, really?
10-9 is what it was. So they're the only other team that has a ridiculous amount of McDonald's All-Americans. So those, you know, that game now is, you know, there's – someone asked me, like, do you think it'll be louder than the Kentucky game? And while the rivalry game is always the loudest, there are kind of games that you need to get back. And now that Louisville kind of lost that North Carolina game, they want to get some wins over these blue bloods of the ACC. I know they're the Blue Demons, but the Blue Bloods. I think this Duke game has potential to blow the roof off the Yum Center.
It could.
Because of the impact of trying to get back into the national radar with a top five ranked team win. Duke will drop, top 10.
Yeah.
And to get Duke in their first ever travel to Louisville ever. I mean, it's going to be, it's history in the making for a Louisville fan.
Not even in the 50s.
Never visited Louisville.
Oh, wow. Well, that's incredible. I think, you know, Louisville, if you think about it, you know, losing to North Carolina and losing to Kentucky, not a big deal on the grand scheme of things. But when you start adding them all up together, say if they lose to Kentucky, if they lose to North Carolina again with the North Carolina loss that they've already had, and if they cannot beat Duke in their only try in the regular season, and then the must-win games now are your Virginias, your Miamis, your Pitts, stuff like that, so that you can actually have a decent enough resume to be a top three seed in the NCAA tournament. Without those, you're not getting up into that level. So you have to win some of these games, and Louisville can really turn it around because they do get a chance to exact revenge against North Carolina. That was a road loss.
Yeah.
Losing to Kentucky is a home loss, but they're the number one team in college basketball. So really, that's not going to hurt you as much as losing two to North Carolina. So you got to be able to beat one of these teams. You got to be able to beat a Duke, beat a Carolina, beat a Virginia, so that you can stake a claim, because this is all about March.
Right.
And so that you're not playing against, you know, one of your former, assistant coaches like we had to do in Steve Masiello in Manhattan, or have to get in the same region as Kentucky. You want to be able to, in fact, I'm totally cool with going out west, because
West has been friendly.
West is the best place to be, because the weakest teams always emerge in the Final Four from the West, so it's the easiest road in. So I'm okay with being the number one, number two seed out West, because that's okay.
Yeah.
What I don't want to do is be in the same region as UK, be in the same region as a Duke, or Wisconsin, who I think is awesome. So
I can already see it. One Kentucky, two Duke, three Louisville.
Yeah, all in the same region because they want to reward everybody, you know. So, you know, they want to reward everybody on seed, but then you're looking at the bracket and you're like, well, hey, you know, I'd rather been shipped off and not had, you know, whoever is my number one seed, because we think that they're kind of a fool's gold paper champion sort of situation. So the NCAA tournament, I don't understand. They're especially last year, is one of the most mind-boggling seedings I've ever seen in my life. But and in fact, Coach Pitino said that they might be soccer ADs that make up the committee, because they just don't know basketball.
Yeah.
But anyway, so to get off that, just it's all about March. It's all about the NCAA tournament. And if Louisville can beat a Duke and do something in the ACC tournament, then they have a really nice resume. And this is all it's about. It's about the resume.
Yeah, and with losing North Carolina, you hope to get it back against Duke. This isn't the month where we really bang a lot of heads, unfortunately. But hopefully the Cards will be really focused and practice all week long. With that loss to North Carolina, probably stings a little bit. Just to comment, not necessarily on North Carolina, but just on the play in general during the game, which has me encouraged, is it was really one of the first games where I felt like the guards and the front court worked together.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of these games, you'll see the guards score a lot of points, maybe a big guy scores a lot of points, and there's literally no connective tissue, meaning no assist in between.
Right.
It's one-on-one guards. Oh, we missed. Lots of rebounds. Big guy's doing all right. But there's no assist. And this game, Terry and Chris both had five assists. That's probably certainly against the opponent, the best game they've played this year. So if we can get the bench going, I like what I'm seeing as far as the guards working into assists, because they scored a lot of points, but they also had assists.
Yep.
And get away from the one-on-one play and all that kind of stuff. It's about that team and the movement. It's a synchronized dance out there, and we're not good at dancing yet. We'll be good at dancing when the big dance rolls around.
Yeah, I think that's a big deal, is, you know, especially Chris Jones. I think we all see what Terry Rozier can do in terms of the amount of shots that he can do, the percentage that he can do, the way he can rebound, the way he can pass. But the way that Chris Jones has played these last three games, even in the loss against North Carolina, and then his attitude after the loss, I was very encouraged with. So I think maybe the light has come on for Chris Jones. He understands that this team's not going to be an undefeated the rest of the way thing. It's like all about getting better. And part of the thing of getting the bench involved and getting the bench points and production is passing the ball to them and having the confidence in your teammates to say, you're in the game to help us win. Get them the ball, get them involved, and allow them to make plays. Not give them the ball to avoid mistakes, but give them the ball to allow them to make plays and allow them to develop. Because when they play against Virginia Tech, Louisville may end up with a comfortable lead in that game and be able to, you know, actually be able to develop some players and some confidence. Maybe Shaquan Aaron can get up 5, 6, 7 shots in that game, maybe hit 3 or 4 of them, and that's a great start for him. Because really what Shaquan Aaron doesn't have that everybody else on the team has had is the ability to play against the Savannah States, the Cleveland States, the, you know, the lower echelon teams that he could get in, play a bunch of minutes, and provide some production and get some confidence and get his feet wet into college basketball. Shaquan Aaron's having to do all of this in the ACC and in conference play, and it's not necessarily fair.
Yeah, I didn't like seeing only taking 2 shots either. You know, if you're a shooter,
Put them up.
You know, I know the volume shooter can only be associated with Russ, but when you're a shooter and you're on a team, it's not really known for its scoring. You got to do that. Now, this Duke taking a loss, obviously they're going to be focused. This is going to be a great matchup between Louisville and Duke. But just to show you the kind of effort it took for NC State to beat Duke today, they almost scored 90 points. And you ready for this? And this is the part that needs to scare Louisville fans the most, especially if we play against NC State. NC State's bench had 29 points.
Oh, wow.
And 13 rebounds, 8 assists.
Unbelievable.
Which
really nice.
Is difficult when you have almost a 0 stat line for Louisville's bench. So NC State's got the bench figured out, and that may be what it takes to ultimately beat Duke, which they did. Hopefully Louisville can have a little bit of a bench action. Otherwise, we're going to have really tired guys in the last 6 minutes. And that's the thing that's frustrating, is because in 2013, we would wear teams out. North Carolina plays a lot of guys. They play 11 guys. They are not getting tired. They're just as good as they are. So if you get more tired, they get more effective. And that's going to happen to Louisville a lot until we figure this bench out. NC State had the bench today.
We got to have a bench against Duke, because especially at the 5-man spot, because Jahil Okafor is just a monster of a task. I mean, 6'11", 270 pounds. You know, one of the most productive players in college basketball. 19 points, 9 rebounds a game, almost 2 blocks. He's a game changer, and with the size that he has, I mean. Chinanu's a very big player at 6'11", 230. This guy's same height, 40 pounds heavier.
Right.
So, and he plays all the time. So when you sub in Mango for Nanu, you know, that's going to be a big, big chore. Yeah. And who else can really match up against him? I'm not sure.
There's already the expression, lose more for Okafor, for some of the NBA teams.
You know, okay.
Tank for Teddy, if you remember.
Lose more that, for Okafor. Yeah. I like that. I do think that Quinn Cook playing 33 minutes a game for Duke is a big deal, because that kind of is going to even out the Chris Jones-Quinn Cook matchup.
Yeah.
Because I like Chris Jones defensively against everybody in the country. I don't think that there's a better defender at the point guard position in college basketball than Chris Jones. I really don't. And I'm somebody that's been very bullish on Chris's offense, but I've been a bear on his defense, because I just think that he is just such a good defender. I don't think that's the part of his game that's always there.
Bear means you're going down. You don't like
no,
it.
No, bear means I'm staying where I am.
Bear market in the markets means you're saying the market's going to tank.
No.
Bull markets.
No. Bull means up and down, man. Bull means up and down. And
you're redefining it.
No.
Stock
bear
market.
Means I'm staying right here.
Bull market.
No. No.
Stock
no.
market. Yes, it does.
No.
Bull market means we're betting the market's going to be going straight up.
It means it's very volatile. Telling you. Look it up. We have iPhones. You look that up.
Bull
right
means positive. Bear means negative.
Not necessarily. Anyway.
The combination is the up and down.
All right. I don't change my opinion on Chris Jones's defense. Okay?
You
we
are
can debate the bull bear
love
thing
his defense
later.
And your
which I one? Love what, his defense, and I've been up and down on his offense forever.
Yeah.
Okay? And I think his offense is really coming around. I'm very encouraged by what he's doing. But his defense doesn't change. And so that's been the thing that I've liked the most about Chris Jones, especially against Quinn Cook, is because Quinn Cook is a 97% foul shooter, and he plays 33 minutes a game. I mean, imagine that. So,
and then beside him, they got Mr. Jones, who's considered one of the best freshman point guard there is. So
right, and so you know, so they'll move Quinn over the two to, I think really they do that to get him rest.
Yeah,
because Cook doesn't come off the floor very much at all.
Yeah,
he does sub for about 7 minutes a game. Matt Jones plays about 18 minutes a game, so there is time where they're on the floor together. But mostly while they're on the floor together, Jones runs the point, and Cook kind of he does his little Wayne Blackshear stand in the corner thing and kind of rest up a little bit when that's happening. So, but I'm excited to see about how Louisville matches up against this team. I think it's another game where Louisville will probably be underdogs, and out in Vegas. So, you know, we'll see. But you know, I'm encouraged to see what the week will bring. I'm very happy that it's not going to be an opportunity for Coach K to get his 1,000th win. I'm really going to be focused more on the 5 spot than anything. You really have to look at Suleiman's 3-point percentage and Tyus Jones and really Winslow's 3-point percentage. Those three guys together, even with Matt Jones, I mean, just outstanding 3-point shooting team. So if Duke is going to – if and Louisville's been a really outstanding 3-point defensive team,
yeah.
So – who wins that matchup might determine the game.
I think rebounds are going to be a big deal.
Yep.
Duke does not kill people on the boards quite like North Carolina does. Louisville is technically a strong rebounding team. So I think as far as taking away some possessions away from Duke, you're going to do it on the boards. And I think they're going to have the opportunity to do that as long as if Onuaku gets in some foul trouble or gets tired, we're going to have to figure out what's going to do. But I like if we get what we got out of North Carolina, out of our 5 spot, I'm happy with that. It, yeah. It's going to be the other guys.
It's way better than a 0,
right.
Which is what was happening a few weeks ago. You're getting 0 out of your 5, 0 out of your 3. Now you've shored up your 5 somewhat. You would like to get some more out of the back end of your reserve 5s. And you're still kind of knowing that you're not getting a whole lot out of your 3 offensively, but you kind of, if you can have an understanding of what Wayne's going to actually be and then continue to work on Shaquan Aaron, and maybe he can be a spark plug off the bench
mm-hmm.
when Terry Rozier or Chris Jones goes to the bench, we move in a Shaquan Aaron, and maybe you can find some like spark in an offense there. That's really what you're hoping for at the 3 spot.
All right, folks, so that'll wrap it up for basketball this week. We don't have a whole lot to talk about in football. We're going to move to that now.
Topic of the week.
Okay, there's a couple things we can talk about. Football is not in season. All the guys are going through their different all-star games.
And it's a dead period, too, for recruiting.
It's a dead period. But there was some big news this week. When Charlie spurned Tennessee to stay at Louisville, it was a big deal. And now we can claim another big deal.
Big deal, yeah. Garrick McGee, offensive coordinator, got offered the position with Bob Stoops out of Oklahoma, who fired
his alma mater.
His alma mater, and he where Bob Stoops fired Josh Heupel. I think he was the runner-up for the Heisman, or maybe he won the Heisman. I forget, but he was their offensive coordinator. Won a national championship at OU. The position was offered to McGee. Where he's an alumnus, and he actually was out there with Howard Schnellenberger at the time, and McGee turned the job down. He said that he likes what he's doing here at the University of Louisville. And to be honest with you, I think he made the right choice, even though Oklahoma's maybe the program that has
more tradition,
maybe a higher profile right now. But I think if you look at what Bob Stoops has done in terms of producing head coaches, it's not there.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like when other people are like, why would he turn that job down? Well, it's about, number one, how much money are you going to make? And he just moved from UAB, where he was the head coach at UAB a year ago. He just moved his family to Louisville. He is the assistant head coach at the University of Louisville. So would he just strictly be an offensive coordinator, or would he have the assistant head coach title? Yeah. That's one other thing. And then also, does Bob Stoops churn out head coaches? You know, how stable is that situation? Bob Stoops has been floated for the Florida job. He's been floated for the Michigan job. Like, maybe things aren't great out at OU, but he hasn't left yet. So at the same time, he's been there a long time. So I don't know. But the fact that he did stay at the University of Louisville, I think, is a big deal. Garrick McGee's our national recruiter. For the staff, so he's the one guy on the entire staff that doesn't have a specific geographic region that he works. He goes out and looks for players outside the region and recruits them based on who he thinks will really be like program changers for the school. So big deal to get Garrick to stay. He's very cool. He's got his two twin sons that he always posts on Twitter. It's always good to see them. Yep. So.
And he posted those two kids out when he decided to stay with them holding up L signs.
Yeah, which is, I think it's cool. You know, he understands.
Those are his agents, his business agents.
Those guys, I'm sure they got a commission.
Yeah. They're like, no, you're staying, Dad. And, you know, and you always wonder, like, well, what, because these decisions are not so clear cut, and you know, you got family, you got kids. Like, oh, I want to keep bouncing my kids around town to town. You know, it's like I'm in a good situation, things are good. I know we're going to get better. ACC's got into the playoff equation, so I know we can do it if we put the right product out there. Why do I have to keep chasing around all around the country? Well, I think it's great that he's staying. It's any recruits out there, they saw that. Any recruits that were thinking about Oklahoma and also thinking about Louisville, you know, should be Dahu Green, but I guess he's gone somewhere else.
He's gone to Washington State.
But you know, they see that kind of stuff and they're like, oh, that's interesting. I mean, it takes notice. It gives Louisville another feather in their cap.
It gives them a feather in their cap, but I think a lot of people don't realize how much a lot of these assistant coaches actually are very loyal to Coach Petrino. A lot of that's just never really talked about. Because Garrick McGee, he's talked all the time about his relationship with Coach Petrino, that he's learned so much from him from his days at Arkansas and moving around the country. They've been together at various points, and I think Garrick McGee is very happy and comfortable with where he is. I think Chris Klenakis also feels that way. So there's some guys on this team that, in a coach-wise, that – you know, they're like, yeah, maybe I can make more money somewhere else, and maybe it's a higher profile position, but I'm happy here.
Yeah.
I know I can get to where I want to go. If he wants to be a head coach again, he'll probably have that opportunity here before he'll have it at Oklahoma. So that's a big, big, big point. But, you know, just the familiarity of knowing that I know that I'm going to have a great offense with Coach Petrino. I don't know that I'll have that at Oklahoma, because they just had a huge points per game out at OU, and their offensive coordinator just got fired.
Yeah.
So what's that about? And really, you shouldn't be firing your offensive coordinator if it's your secondary that's really the problem.
Right.
And that's really the truth of the matter out at OU, is that their secondary is absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
One of the worst secondaries I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And they just fired the offensive coordinator.
Maybe it was a knee-jerk reaction to scoring 3 points against TCU in the bowl game.
You mean Clemson in the bowl game.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, TCU played somebody else. I forget.
Oh, Mississippi State.
Yeah, they played Mississippi State.
One of the Mississippis, or Ole Miss, one of the two. Sorry,
one of those Mississippi.
Clemson.
Clemson crushed them.
But with Cole.
Yeah, with Cole Scout. Yeah, it wasn't even Deshaun Watson. It was,
You know, that you might fire your entire staff if Cole Stout's Clemson you know, runs the train on your team.
I agree.
I mean, I think Clemson, obviously they got a good defense, but I think it's a problem. But, all right, so we've got that. So that was a big deal. Thank you, Garrick McGee. Big hugs and kisses from all the Cardinal fans.
And the gift of Garrick
virtual
McGee.
Virtual hugs, virtual kisses.
The gift of Gary McGee came also again in this week when Jamari Staples decided to transfer from the now-defunct UAB program to the Cardinals. A wide receiver, which Louisville needs desperately. He'll be eligible immediately. He'll be a junior.
With experience, right.
With experience. So. 6'4", 190 pounds. He'll have 2 years to play. Petrino and McGee fought pretty big over him when Petrino was at Western and McGee was at UAB over this player. So they're both very familiar with him. Now they don't have to fight over him. And his first year of the year, he was with McGee. He had 31 catches for 458 yards and 4 touchdowns as a true freshman.
Yeah.
So
I think last year was hurt a little bit. He didn't have a lot of stats. So if you go and look him up, you're not going to see much last year to be impressed with.
His 2014 season was down from his freshman year because of injury and a totally different system. So now he's back reunited with that system. And with Louisville losing Devontae Parker, Eli Rogers, Kai De La Cruz, and some other players, there's a big need. Matt Milton didn't play, but he was a body in practice.
Okay, Mark, let's talk about recruiting. There's an unprecedented level of recruits coming to visit Louisville. Of course, the Duke-Louisville game is a very attractive game to come in and visit, but with the momentum of Louisville football, Bobby Petrino being there, being in with a lot of good kids, this is a great showcase to show these kids, the fans, the atmosphere, relative to other good football programs who have terrible basketball teams.
Absolutely. And, yeah, 25 players that would all be – I mean, I'm looking at the list right now. I mean, there's very few players here that, if they committed, wouldn't be immediate high-impact guys for the University of Louisville. So we're talking about 25 players on this weekend that are playing for – that are coming in for the Duke basketball weekend – that would be absolute studs. Now, some of them are already committed. Like Matt Colburn is already committed to the University of Louisville. G.G. Robinson is a big one because he's a commit, yeah. But Florida's offered him at tight end.
Yeah.
We want him on defense, so that's another one. Kane Pass, safety out of Alabama, committed to the University of Louisville. He's bringing in his brother Juwan, who's probably the best quarterback in the country.
2016?
For 2016. And he's also bringing in his brother's best friend, who we all think is probably going to go to North Carolina. And that makes the race for Juwan Pass between Louisville and Carolina. It's good that it's the ACC, but you know Louisville obviously wants him. Big one is Lamar Jackson. Also been offered by Florida, dual threat quarterback, great player, outstanding player, very important to Louisville and at the quarterback position in this class. He's committed to U of L along with Aaron Cochran, Trey Smith, Tim Botter. Those are all Louisville commitments along with Chandler Jones, James Allen, TJ Jallo, Jalen Smith. Those are all commitments that are going to be on campus.
Yep.
The guys that are not committed are huge, like Tavon Richardson from South Carolina.
What position?
At wide receiver, 6'3", three-star. Khalil Lewis, another wide receiver. He's currently committed to West Virginia. And then you have Nick Dawson, who's a linebacker out of McDonough, Georgia. Louisville's currently his favorite. Louisville needs help at the linebacker position. You got McKay Brown, defensive end, currently committed to Alabama.
Let's flip that guy.
We got to flip him. I mean, 6'4½", 222 pounds out of Columbus, Georgia. And that's the area that L.D. Scott is just crushing right now.
Yeah.
That whole area with Trevon Samuel, with there's a whole bunch of guys. I can't even remember them all right now because names are just flying through my head. But huge amounts of guys. And then at the running back position, Rocky Reed from Concord, North Carolina, basically Charlotte. Louisville's.
He's a Tennessee guy, right? He committed to Tennessee.
He's looking at Tennessee, but he's recently decommitted from them. Trey, I don't even want to try to say his name, but he's an offensive guard. He's, I think, a backup plan for Louisville right now if they can't get some of their other. If they can't get a guy like Venzel Bolwer, who's currently committed to Tennessee, to flip to the University of Louisville, which I think Venzel will flip, actually. I think that that's one that will happen. And then we'll talk about Brandon Martin, who I think is Louisville's number one wide receiver target. Right now he's out of Dallas, Texas. And he also comes with another big-time 2016 quarterback prospect because this is Brandon Martin's first year in prep school, and one of his best friends is in high school. He's a 2016 quarterback, one of the top I forget his name right now, but you know, big time quarterback prospect. And then Koala Mahoney, Pio Vatuve's buddy from San Mateo, California, big guy. And then Devontae Pete from Fort Lauderdale, probably even better than Brandon Martin if they could get Devontae Pete to commit. Then that's a Devontae Parker type player there. So
that's a kid from Florida, right?
And he's from Fort Lauderdale, Miami area. So I mean, I probably just threw a ton of names at everybody that maybe if you don't follow recruiting, you don't understand that. But it's a huge weekend. You don't get this many players of this caliber.
Don't cuss out our basketball players.
No, just cheer them on. Get loud. Get crazy.
Show unwavering support as these recruits will be in the front row. All of your curse words have to cross their heads to get to the court.
Yeah, this is a big recruiting weekend for the Cards. I would imagine that as soon as the dead period ends, there's going to be a lot of fluctuation on the current commit list. A lot of the guys that are on this visit list are going to probably be committing, especially some guys. This guy named Dominic Shepherd is currently committed to Wisconsin. I expect him to be a Louisville Cardinal. what that happens to the current commit list, it will affect it. So
right.
we're going to have to take a look at the players that you're losing
and
the players that you're getting.
Wool's not completely – I mean, you know, you've already heard an instance this year where – an offensive lineman who was committed to Louisville decommitted, and we're like, why? You know, we need offensive linemen. And then later in the week, a better offensive lineman committed. So, you know, there's these types of conversations, and it kind of sucks, you know, for a kid. But a lot of times it's like, I'm sorry, we're moving on without you now.
We're getting better.
Yeah, you know, so
it's better for the kid if he has enough time to find a replacement to open up the channels again, because you bring a kid on campus, and if you've recruited over him, he's not going to see the field. So you want to get
right.
these kids a chance to play.
Man, you want to play, and you're not going to play now.
Yeah, you're not going to play because we got a couple other players, and we don't have a scholarship for you. So, in fact, right now there's a wide receiver out there that would be a very good commitment for the University of Louisville, but they're not currently accepting his commitment, even though he wants to come be a Card, because they know that they're in line for several other wide receiver products that – if they get them, it wouldn't make sense for this particular recruit to be on the team. So this happens in football. It's an ugly side of things. My problem is when people get shuffled around on signing day. I don't like that. If you give kids 2 weeks to figure it out, a lot of times they can make a great choice.
Yeah.
They can go and that's
but, one of the reasons. But that happens two ways. You know, like,
it happens both ways. Yep.
So Louisville lost Todd Chandler, South Florida. He was a South Florida defensive tackle under Charlie. He was friends with Michael Harris and all these guys. He ended up choosing South Florida, I think, over Louisville that day. And everyone thought for sure he was in. You know, there's a lot of kids. There was an offensive lineman that chose UCF over Louisville from that same class.
Torian Wilson, I believe.
Yeah, he was a big dude. So, I mean, it happens both ways, and it sucks when you got to scramble. But it is that's the game.
It's,
so
it's not good when it scrambles, but that's one of the reasons why these kids do take all their commitment, all their visits. That's why you should, if you're an athlete, visit, do your homework, understand what the situation is at each place, develop a relationship. Don't burn bridges because that's why coaches don't burn bridges either, because sometimes players get recruited over, sometimes spots evaporate, and sometimes players, you know, like losing Isaiah Ford and George Rushing last year on signing day wasn't a lot of fun.
Man.
But it did happen.
And those kids and Louisville both suffered as a result. I mean
Isaiah Ford had a nice year.
Yeah,
George Rushing he had an okay year for a true freshman.
Steroids with the Bobby Petrino guys.
Louisville wouldn't have the need it has right now at wide receiver had those two players been in the program this year. So
well, and also, you know, and I don't know how Bobby. We're going to find out a lot about how Bobby Petrino handles this, since it's his first year of recruiting. So we're going to find out how he handles, you know, holding some extra spots, because that was a big play that Charlie Strong wasn't afraid of. And of course, one guy who got recruited over and turned into Louisville's favorite son was Lorenzo Maldon. So it's a situation where being recruited over sometimes works out for everybody, because Louisville definitely outpaced South Carolina, I think, in the last 4 years as far as success within conference and outside in the bowl games. And Lorenzo benefited quite a bit from the mistake that the Gamecocks made.
Well, I don't know if – yeah, I mean, the reason why Lorenzo Maldon had a scholarship revoked was because of Jadeveon Clowney.
Mm-hmm.
But there was probably another defensive end that they probably could have done without, you know, instead of Lorenzo. But I think it worked out okay for South Carolina. I think that they probably undervalued Lorenzo as a player.
Sure as hell worked out great for Louisville.
It worked out wonderfully for Louisville and for Lorenzo.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he would have had the same college experience, if he would be the player that he is today, without a lot of the work that a lot of the guys did, like Charlie and Chris Stone, and you know, his defensive coaches like Clint Hurt. So in a lot of ways, it worked out pretty well for everybody. And I hope that the players that get recruited over in this class, or the players that get recruited over everywhere, really, understand that it may have been for the best, you know, when that happens. And you never know. Things transfer. Jamari Staples ends up a Cardinal. after 2 years anyway because of the way things work out in the world. So it's never over. It's good to keep the lines of communication open. And but this is a huge weekend for the University of Louisville football program. And we're just getting ramped up because every single weekend from now until signing day is going to be absolutely enormous. It's going to be a lot of fun to see what the future of the program is going to look like. I think this could be one of the best classes Louisville's ever put together.
It's probably only going to get better. Yeah. Moving forward, I mean, you're talking about Bobby Petrino hasn't been really recruiting a serious player in 3 years.
Yep.
Because he was out, and then he was at Western, and now finally he's at Louisville. And if they can land Louisville's best class ever.
And really it's year one because he's salvaging the true year one.
First class where he's actually out and recruiting for a year. That would be an amazing testament, first of all, for moving to a power conference, ACC, Power Five, the haves and the have-nots. But also it speaks to what people think of Louisville and the households around the nation because Louisville is becoming a brand name. And then moving forward, it can only get better because I'm sure Bobby Petrino, you know, next year, we've already talked about in the last podcast, and we'll have a full podcast devoted to this kind of stuff, but we already kind of mentioned with some of the attrition in the line, you know, there could be some ups and downs next year, but I think people still will be believing in Bobby Petrino and Louisville football. So I think recruiting is only going to continue to get better, and I'm really impressed with how this first true class of Bobby's coming around.
Absolutely, and we get them all on the dotted line, and we see how many we actually get and who those people are. Either that'll be the true test. And then, you know, when we go back 5 years later and we look at the class and we say, oh, wow, that was a great one, or wow, that class looked great on paper, but it was kind of a dud. You know, sometimes that happens, and it happens at a lot of programs. So I'm excited to see, you know, who he gets. But really, I'm looking forward to the program, you know, this coming Auburn game and the offseason spring practice, looking at what the depth chart and the future of Louisville football is, because it's bright. It's really bright. It may be another year like this year that we just had, but moving past that, it could be big-time football for seasons to come.
For the foreseeable future. All right, folks. Well, that'll do it for football. We'll be getting more into as some of these recruits are committing and falling off. We'll be getting into that with our pods in the future. But just a quick program note for women's program. And Louisville just had a big comeback against Wake Forest. They were down by 10 points at halftime, mustered a victory. They've got a game Wednesday night against North Carolina State. They got a game Sunday against Virginia. Both those games are at the Yum Center. Of course, we know Louisville, is it Tuesday night they play Virginia Tech?
Tuesday night against Virginia Tech.
Men's team.
The men's team. Wednesday night, North Carolina State, the women's team. Saturday against Duke, the men's. And then Sunday is against Virginia? Yeah, it's Virginia.
Virginia. So if you like basketball, you got four dates to circle for the Yum Center this week. Hopefully the Cards can pull it off. Okay, well, I just want to mention it just because I think it is possibly record-setting. We were talking about it. Louisville seniors going to All-Star and Prep Bowl games and all these classics. It's unprecedented levels right now.
It is. I don't know that I've ever seen this many players and postseason All-Star games. The East-West Shrine Game, I believe Louisville has 7 players in that game, which is incredible. Lorenzo Malden will be in the Senior Bowl, and Jake Smith chose to go to the bowl game that's in South Charleston, South Carolina. I think it's like the military appreciation, or he turned down the NFLPA Bowl to go to that. But yeah, I'm really excited to see what this coming NFL draft does for the University of Louisville football, because I think Louisville could have more players drafted in this upcoming draft than they've ever had, which could be huge for the program, another recruiting nugget they throw out there. So yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
And there's so many. I mean, there are 15 guys. I mean, there's so many guys going to John Miller. And I saw he was hitting a flight to get to his. Jamal Brown's Facebooking and tweeting pictures from the hotel he's at.
You have 9 players.
Lorenzo's gone out, but now he's training. He's doing some training.
You have 9 seniors that legitimately could get drafted based on what happens now and their workouts and their performances and how they do with their agents and all that other stuff. And then 3 early entrants that will get drafted. I think all 3 of them will get drafted. So you could potentially have 12 players drafted in this coming NFL draft. I don't know. I don't think he'll get 12. Just saying potentially 12.
Yeah.
12 individual guys that could, and the other guys that don't get drafted will have a chance to make it in camp.
Right.
So that'll be exciting times. You know, and I know that Jeremy Fowler came out from CBS and said that all three early entrant DBs got so
Gaines
school grades.
Yeah. That's Gaines, Holloman, and Sample. Yeah.
And I can understand it for Sample and Gaines. I understand why they're leaving, because I just don't know what they can improve on. And they're also been in school for 4 years. They're 4 years past their high school graduation. For Sample, he played 1 year of college football. He's also four years away from his high school graduation. They're all in the same distance from high school.
Yeah.
So really, you don't want to be too old going in the NFL. And even though you do get stay in school grades, sometimes you just can't do any better than what you currently are.
Right.
And getting older isn't helping.
Kind of like Jeremy Wright. When Jeremy Wright was a running back for Louisville, he had a great senior year, beats Louisville in the Sugar Bowl. And
he
could
have diploma.
Could have come back.
Right.
And everyone's like, why? We've got four running backs that are really good. There's no way you're going to have a better year than you did this year. There's no way you're going to beat number three in the country in the Sugar Bowl again back-to-back years probably.
Right.
So sometimes you just got to move on.
Sometimes you just got to move on. I think Gaines and Holloman made the right choice in leaving. I think Sample had an opportunity really move up, with a year back. I'm saying that I agree with Gaines and Holloman. I don't necessarily agree with James Sample. I wish him the best,
I think Sample, where he could have benefited the most, was becoming a household name.
Household name,
you know,
exactly.
I think Holloman had stole that showcase, and then Gaines being the talker and
he's
Mr. Fast, run
winner.
Faster than animals. I think they kind of hog the spotlight, and I think so. This was going to be Sample's year to be the lead guy they bring up in that group.
I think James Sample will be the best pro out of the group. I think Charles Gaines will, if he can improve his tackling, could be an awesome NFL player. I worry about Jerod Holloman in the NFL, honestly. I wish all three of those guys the best.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Go tear it up. Rumble, young man, rumble, and do it all. But I'm excited to see their future, and I hope that they prove me wrong. So.
Yeah, well, if you want to know how good Louisville football has been lately, of all these guys that we're talking about, they're going to All-Star games. Dominique Brown's going to All-Star games as well, and he didn't even play for the last six games. That is how talented Louisville football has been.
Yeah, and Dominic, we'll see what he does in that East-West Shrine game. I think it's going to be a wake-up call for him. And I don't know how it's going to actually play out. Maybe teams think that he could probably play tight end in the NFL. I don't see him as an NFL running back.
Sure, but to get invited
is great.
It is a great accomplishment to him. Even though Louisville had plenty of options at running back that were just proving to be a little bit more effective this year, does not discount.
Right.
And Dominic Brown is a player.
Here's something: is that Michael Dyer? I don't think has been invited to any of these things. So
probably won't. He'll say he's hurt when he's there. And
I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that guy.
Sure.
So it's like, well, that's another player to look out for.
Yeah.
Maybe he's
we'll
involved in the 13. Maybe we move it from 12 to 13 if he gets his act together. But done worried about him. So that's one thing that we're moving on from.
Yeah, moving away from the high maintenance. All right, well, folks, that'll do it for this week's edition of the Crunch Zone podcast. Don't forget, you can check us out on thecrunchzone.com. We'll put the podcast up weekly. Mark's always kicking out great content for you to consume daily on Louisville football, basketball, recruiting, and more. We've got Stitcher Radio. You can check our podcast out there. You can check us out on Louisville.am, our partner. And also, don't forget, you can set us up for immediate download with any podcast app you set up through iTunes. So that's very convenient as well. Thank you for listening this week. Hopefully the Cards have a big win over Duke. We're excited about that. Maybe land a few commitments in all the jubilation. Mark, is there any last words to the Cards game?
Go Cards.